Jesus Christ is alive. And he is born in the hearts of people everywhere. I wonder if you would stand. We're going to go to the word of the Lord for a little bit. I want to say how much I enjoyed the preaching last Sunday. Brother Wallace, thank you for being a blessing each time you have ministered. We love this family, and we only get to hold on to them for a few more days and weeks, and then they're gone for 4 years. Oh my goodness, that seems like forever. And we appreciate the sacrifices y'all are making, and we are partners with you in every detail of what God has called you to do. We want to be a part of that. From Luke chapter 2, I would like to read throughout this message some of the Christmas story and just try to give you some direction the Lord kind of gave me for anybody that would be here today that needs to hear his voice. But in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8, we read, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." I believe us people are included in all people. And what happened 2,000 years ago, it still has relevance in what we need from the Lord today. So I want to just preach for a little bit the hopes and fears of Christmas. The hopes and fears of Christmas. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us today. Lord Jesus, right now, we trust you, God, for a word that helps every single one of us to know your voice, to know your hand, your touch today. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, I love you and trust you for a blessing, God. I love you and trust you for a blessing, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I wonder if one more time we could just give the Lord praise, just from your heart, your voice. Let him know how much you love him. God, we love you. We need your anointing, your blessing, your presence, oh God, today in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. And again, thank you for being here today. Of course, you don't have to stand where I'm standing now to probably realize that I would much rather focus on the hope of Christmas here on Christmas Eve than perhaps dwell on the fears that people face either back during the time that Jesus came or fears that are real in the lives of people here this morning. But I do think it's important in the Christmas story to focus on the fact that there is still a lot of fear in our world today. And I'm going to poke a little fun at the subject of fear for just a moment, but I don't want you to think that I've never been afraid or that there are not things that I'm afraid of right now. Fear is very real, perhaps for every one of us here today. But there are a lot of fears that are a little bit interesting, at least, and there are phobias. In fact, I Googled strange phobias. That's how spiritual I was in preparing for this message. I'm not going to read them all, but if you Google that, I'm not responsible for what you find. But there's actually a fear, a blutophobia, which has to do with people that are very fearful of taking a bath. So I'd like for you to smell the person next to you and see. That way you can pray for them that they might have victory over this fear. Then there is a fear that perhaps some of you young people can relate to. It is called ergophobia. It is the fear of the workplace environment. Isn't that convenient for the day and age that we live in? That people are so fearful of what happens at work, chiefly work, that they can't even go to work How many of you work with somebody just like that? No. But it's a fear, and there were fears listed that were fake fears. Apparently, this made the list of real fears. Now, this is a little bit frightening, but there are probably some that struggle with sleeping at night, and there is a fear called somniphobia, which is the fear of falling asleep. And that, you can just imagine, could be a real painful experience. This last one I found very peculiar. It is a fear, I think it's pronounced oikophobia. It is the fear of household appliances. Now, I've heard of some that were afraid of the kitchen, but I never realized it could be that specific. And it certainly gives new definition to the phrase, let go of my ego. You know, I'm just saying, you don't want to get near the toaster. You don't want to get near the dishwasher because you are scared to death. The fact is, all through the year, there is fear that people deal with. And then here it is Christmas, and fear doesn't take a holiday even in this season. And I won't go through all of the fears that might be associated with Christmas. Some of them are very serious. Again, although I'm poking a little fun, I'm definitely not trying to minimize real fear. I'm just trying to make sure we're all on the same page. Some fear parking at the mall during Christmas. It's a real fear. Some fear January credit card bills. That's a real fear. Some of you young people fear clothes that your parents think are cool. That's a real fear for some young people here. Some of you fear pre-lit Christmas trees. Some of you fear Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Who is Jack Frost and keep him away from my face? I don't know. There's just fear out there. Some of you fear reindeers that run over grandmas. Because you know if it happened to grandma, it can happen to you. I hope you're with me now. I'm talking about fear. And although it is a time for hope, I'm trying to convince you in this simple message that at Christmas time, hope and fear has the potential to collide. And we want to focus on the peace at Christmas time and the love at Christmas time and certainly the joy at Christmas time. We don't even want to focus or even contemplate fear. But if you rewind the tape to what we acknowledge, at least in our way of celebrating what we could call the first Christmas, there was a lot of hope, but there was a lot of fear. Look at Joseph for just a moment. It was read during the prayer for the sick today. Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is dealing with this fear because an angel is telling him that his wife is going to give birth and he's not the father. And so the angel says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so while Joseph is thinking and fearing the future, the angel says, don't be afraid. She's going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There is a lot of hope in those words. But for Joseph, there was a collision between fear and hope that he had to deal with so that God could perform his mission. Think about Mary. This is found in Luke chapter 1. The angel comes to her and says, you are highly favored and the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. And verse 29 of Luke chapter 1 says, and when she saw him, when she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying. She was scared. And so the angel said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You are going to conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. So there is a lot of hope that Jesus is born. There is a lot of hope that he is going to be great, but fear and hope are creating quite a mixture in Mary's heart. And she's just going to have to trust God. I'll give you one more example, and then we'll focus on our text today. But there was a king during the birth of Jesus, King Herod, and he finds out that this king is to be born. And the scripture says, if you look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And let me tell you something, when King Herod got scared, everybody got scared of King Herod. And there was a lot of violence and a lot of pain and a lot of anguish. At the same time, there was a lot of hope. So we're on a collision course between hope and fear. And in the midst of all of that mess, God is going to do something awesome that affects people even in our day. Now look at our text. We see these shepherds. And in Luke chapter 2, let's read again. They're watching over their flocks by night. So they're out there in the dark, in the fields, taking care of their sheep. Now, I'll just pause and say this. That would scare me. I've often thought growing up in an urban area, I would be a lot more frightened in the middle of a field in the pitch dark than I would be on some of the most dangerous streets in America. Because as long as there's street lights, I feel like I can find my way home from there. But these shepherds are out there in the fields, and they didn't get scared until the angels came, and they saw the glory of the Lord surrounding them like a bright light shining. And look at verse 10, Luke 2 and verse 10. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." Now, I do want to say something that's pretty interesting to think here. It's noteworthy that the shepherds did not really fear the night. What they got afraid of was the light. Now, I'm not going to preach that here today, but I will just throw this in for you to think about. It seems that the shepherds had gotten comfortable in the dark. It wasn't until the light came and the supernatural happened that they started shaking in their boots. Can I just say, don't be afraid of the supernatural. Don't be afraid of the light that shines into the hearts of God's people every time we worship and we rejoice. Sometimes we get comfortable with the dark, and we get comfortable in the night, and we get comfortable with just going through the motions of life. But if God wants to shine a light in your life, I know it's Christmas Eve, but say, "Jesus, I want the peace you have for me. I want the love you have for me. I want the joy you have for me." And if you are bebopping along and you feel very comfortable with your status quo relationship with God, it could be you've just become comfortable in the dark. That was heavy duty preaching for Christmas Eve. Let's move on. But his light is shining today so that his love and his peace and his joy can illuminate your life and change you forever. And so here is my point today, is that the hope of Christmas still is available for brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends. The light is still shining today for anybody that's afraid, anybody that doesn't have a sense for what's coming in the future and it's got you nervous. Isaiah 9 and 2 says this, "I hope you've saved an amen for Christmas Eve. The people that walked in dark have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." And that light is described this way in that same chapter: "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I'm preaching today that light still shines wherever there is fear, wherever there is darkness, wherever there is night. That light still shines. Jesus is still born into the hearts of those that put their faith in him. Hallelujah. I just preached to you on this Christmas Eve that none of the fears of Christmas can stop the hope of Christmas. Wherever there's anybody sitting in the dark, fearful of the night, if you could call on Jesus today and say, Jesus, I need a mighty God. Jesus, I need a wonderful counselor. Jesus, I need a Prince of Peace. The Christmas season is a great season to overcome every fear and receive what you need from Jesus Christ. And yet the lesson here, it's real simple, but as I have focused on it over the last week or so, it has impacted me with just a simple revelation that may just pass you by, but for me, it was something that I needed. And this is the revelation. Again, it doesn't take a great scholar to figure this out, but the ramifications are amazing. The greatest emotion that overwhelmed Joseph when God was about to do the greatest miracle that humanity had ever experienced. The emotion that Joseph was feeling was not an emotion that brought faith. It was an emotion that brought fear. The greatest emotion that Mary was experiencing when she first got the news. Now, eventually her faith began to rise, but in the process of God giving to her the most spectacular miracle that any young virgin could have ever experienced in her day, all she could feel was fear. Those lonely shepherds on the hillside minding their own business, they were doing fine without God. But then when the light shined and when the angel showed up, their emotions changed to fear. The lesson for you is this: don't let your emotions determine for you the reality of what God is doing in your life, because somebody here today could be facing fear of the future and fear of the unknown and fear of a crisis and fear of circumstances you cannot change. But in the midst of your fear, hope can shine today. In the midst of your fear, Jesus can show up today. In the midst of your fear, Christ can be born. Praise the name of the Lord. I feel like God gave me a simple thought for someone that would be here today, and that thought is this: it is likely that God right now is working in an awesome way in your life in spite of every fear. It is likely that even though fear is the overriding emotion, when you contemplate a particular area, it could be your family situation, it could be a financial situation, and God just wanted you to know, it could be any situation, but if the emotion that comes to your heart is fear, don't let that fear discredit the moving of God in your life. Don't let that fear undermine your faith to say, Jesus, this Christmas, I need your peace. I need your joy. I need your love. I need you to be born in my life. Because no fear can stop our Savior. And so the old song goes this way: O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I know we celebrate Christmas, but we don't have to limit it to December 25th, because there's so many of you in here that can remember that point in your life when hopes and fears met, when hopes and fears collided, when hopes and fears crashed into each other, and there was this overwhelming sense, I just don't know if this is going to work out. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't even know where I can turn. And the reality is, when hopes and fears met that first Christmas, nothing could stop the hope and the help of Jesus Christ. And when hopes and fears meet in your life this Christmas, nothing can stop Jesus from helping you and helping your family and helping your future. What I'd like for you to do, if you're bold enough, is right where you're seated, is to raise your hand and just by faith grab a hold of that. If there is a fear in any area of your life, I want you to push it down for just a moment. And instead of lifting up that fear, lift up Jesus and say, God, in the face of my greatest fear, I have the greatest hope that a miracle's about to be born in my life. A miracle's about to come to my family. Is there anybody that can join me right now in the celebration of hope, in the celebration of confidence, in the celebration of Jesus? I may be squelched by fear. I may be suffocated by fear, but Jesus is here. And hope is going to win again. Hope is going to win again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I don't want you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to take long with this. In fact, the musicians can come. We're going to get ready to come and pray. But I want to talk about real fears for just a moment. Real fears. I don't want you to raise your hand. But I didn't know this until someone gave me a prayer request. There's people probably in this sanctuary that there are job issues right now. That's your greatest fear. Hope and fear is on a collision course for you this Christmas. Now, I want to say to the person that gave me that prayer request, it's right here in my notes. You could see it. I wrote it long before you gave me that prayer request. Hopes and fears can meet today. Hope can win today. It might be bills to pay, our future financial decisions. I'm just saying, we have to remember, even when we are suffocated by fear, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. I will trust in him. What about health issues? Health issues don't take the holiday off. There are people right now that are struggling with news from the doctor. People right now that even as you get a little bit older, you think about your own physical condition and you get nervous about little indicators that some things are impacting your health. Or maybe it's just advancing age and it seems like, wow, as each year goes by, there's a little bit more fear, a little bit more uncertainty. It could be even just beyond that, the well-being of your family, the well-being of your children. As you look around and you hear the news and you realize at any moment terrorism can come and impact the life of every single one of us. I'm talking about fear. That's very real. And yet I want you to understand today, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There may be fear, but hope can be born today. Christ can be born today if I will put my trust in him. I want to deal with something that's very real at the holiday time, and I'm just going to deal with it quickly and pass on. But I want somebody in this sanctuary to know Jesus knows where you're at. If none of us are aware, he knows. The word that I mentioned now is the word loneliness. And even during this season, there are some that feel the pain of loss. A loved one that will not be sitting around the table. A loved one that they will not be sharing another Christmas. And there is a fear that comes with that. There is a worry connected with that. There's also that sense of isolation that some people feel because they're separated from those they love, or even when they are with their family, they feel like there's some walls that are up and there's some disconnect, and they go through the motions of the holiday, but their heart does not feel the joy and the peace that they think that they should feel. And then there's the pressure that comes to all of us, especially young people, but all of us know what it's like when it seems like from every direction there are expectations put on our life. Teenagers would call this peer pressure. And if you're not like this, and if you don't do that, then maybe they won't like you or they won't let you hang out with them. And somehow, some way, that even filters into the life of us older folks. And we feel like we've got to perform for people. We've got to put on our best act for people, or they won't really want to be close to us. Let me tell you something. In the midst of all those fears, there is hope. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Is there anybody that could raise a hand today and you could say, you know what? I thank God for my family, but I thank God Jesus is closer to me than even a brother. I thank God for my family, but Jesus is closer to me even than those that I have lost because of death or other circumstance. I thank God that this Christmas, I'm not just celebrating my family, I'm celebrating my Heavenly Father, and together there is a reason for peace and love and joy. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. And I think it's so important on Christmas Eve in a congregation this size to say there are some people in this building that know the wages of sin is death. But don't forget the rest of the story. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is fear that overwhelms people at times because we feel guilt because of sin, or we feel trapped because of addiction, or we feel like no matter how hard I try, I just can't seem to be what I know I should be. No matter how good life gets, there's a good chance I am lost. I want you to know, if you're dealing with that fear today, hope wins. When fear and hope collide in your life, you need to remember God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. You know what? Christmas Eve is a great season to repent and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Christmas Eve is a great service to be baptized. The water is warm. The robes are ready. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. Christmas Eve is a great service to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Is there anybody that can celebrate? I remember the day I repented of my sins. I remember the day I was baptized in Jesus' name. I remember the day I was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what happened? Fear had to go. Fear had to leave. Hope was born in my soul, because when fear and hope collided, when fear and hope met in my life, Jesus Christ won, and he still wins today. Would you stand with me and bow your heads? I would like to pray for everybody here. Lord Jesus, you have promised us that there is no fear in love, that perfect love casts out fear. You have promised us, God, that you have not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm asking you, Lord, right now, wherever there is a hidden fear, wherever there is a secret fear, I'm asking you to meet with every person that is here today and let hope overcome. Let hope conquer. Let hope annihilate any fear that would keep us from the peace and the love and the joy that is our promise from you during this season. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for this congregation. And I declare the word of the Lord over you today. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying, fear not, I will help thee. I feel like an angel would try to speak to somebody today. I feel like the Spirit of God would try to speak to somebody today and say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I wonder if we could close this service by anybody that will join me at the altar, just stepping over your fear right now and marching up to this altar and raising your hands and saying, I will not be afraid, for God is with me. I will not be afraid, for God is going to help me. You don't have to tell anybody what the fear is. You don't have to tell anybody what's scaring you to death, but just step over that fear. Step on that fear and march to this altar and raise your hands and say, Lord, I know I'm feeling fear, but I know I've got hope. I know I'm surrounded by fear, but I know I've got hope. Come on, your sin cannot stop you. Your sickness cannot stop you. Your circumstance cannot stop you. Step on that fear right now. Step over that fear right now and embrace the hope of God. Embrace the promise of God.